Hello and welcome to Girl by Cassandra. This is my last podcast of the year. I think I might record one more, so scratch that. I'm not going to edit it out because I think it's my last podcast of the year, but I just wanted to get on and say thank you so much for listening. Since I was a child, I found ways to express myself and to have other people participate in that expression. Usually it looked like me stopping and rewinding dance moves from NSYNC and having my whole family watch me perform. That's what it typically looked like. Or making a video with my middle school friends and then us popping some popcorn, sitting down to watch it. It could also look like me asking friends and family to watch a video. And by asking, I mean just sending it to them and asking them for feedback. So I have always liked to create and put things out and then get feedback back. So currently the feedback that I got, that I've received, is really that you've been listening. That's the only feedback that I have. No, I have a few people who said keep recording. So I certainly will. I do this as much for you as I do, or as much for me as I do for you, because for me, there is some therapy, some therapeutic value in being able to just sit down and to be able to record and being able to process my thoughts, or at least express the thoughts that have been processed. And something that I learned about myself that that I want to think more about in the new year and start to work on, or continue to work on, is the need to overthink. Like, I know that a lot of people say, oh my gosh, I overthink, I think so much. And then there are some people in the world who you have to wonder, do you even think? Like, did you even think about that? Did you consider, did you wonder? And I'm talking about adults, because of course kids are still developing critical thinking skills and problem solution and being able to see something all the way through. So I'm talking about grown adults who haven't really developed the capacity to think about their actions, about their thoughts, about their words, about decisions. But then there are some of us who overthink. And I feel like there is a need to find a happy medium, right? To be somewhere in the middle. And having, I am so grateful for my career. I'm an educator. This year I teach teachers and I teach students, which is mind-blowing because that is two jobs wrapped up in one. And working with and instructing and coaching teachers or adults is very different than working with and instructing and teaching students or children. Both require a certain foundational level of understanding and knowledge. There are quote unquote best practices. There are things that all good teachers do, no matter who your student is or who your audience is. But there are drastically different skill sets that you need to have to teach and work with adults and to teach and work with students. And I thank God that He's given me the grace to be able to do both. But I said all of that to say that I'm an educator and I have an educator schedule. Which means that I work I'm contracted from 7:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. And I have holidays off during each quarter. Independence Day, since I'm here in Costa Rica, but that fell on a holiday. Anyway, we didn't have a lot of holidays this year, so it's been a long, long, long first half of the school year, but I have almost 4 weeks off of vacation. And this year, again, like last year, I decided not to travel back to the U.S. I just saw my family for Thanksgiving, and it seemed that everybody had some holiday plans, and I thought, you know what? Let me take this time and truly have a vacation, because other times that I've had off, summer or spring break or holidays, I have managed to plan my time around spending time with others. I really love relationships. I love being able to travel. I love spending time with other people. But I decided to really take this time just to sit with myself, to grow in my relationship with God, to learn more about the country that I have made home for the past year and a half, and to explore the beautiful sights. So I've enjoyed it. The first week of my vacation, I went to an area called Santa Teresa. I went to the beach. I got to meet some girls from Sweden and Norway, and I went solo, like I went by myself and traveled, but I wound up running into some really cool people. And now I'm back in my apartment in Brazil de Moura, Costa Rica. And next week, actually tomorrow, not next week, well, it is next week, but tomorrow I'll be going to, should I be telling my business? I don't know. This is live. Okay, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. I'll leave that in the next podcast. I don't want anybody following me. Not that I'm that important, but people are crazy. So I'm just going to hold. Dang it, I told you where I lived. All right, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. I feel like I've said too much. But I say all that to say that you get vacation, you get downtime, and it's brought me to this conclusion that I tend to overthink. You see how I just did all that? Like, all of that thinking just to tell you that I'm on vacation. Really, that's all I needed to say. Part of that overthinking helps me to be a good writer and a good creator and a great teacher and, you know, a wonderful person and all that. But some of that just exhausts me. And because of the way my body is set up, and I think maybe this keto diet as well, faux keto, like I'm half keto, I'm trying, I'm really struggling, but I'm trying. it causes me to get up at the butt crack of dawn. Like I wake up around 5:30, 6 o'clock on vacation, and I can go and go and go, but lately, I've been tired around 7 or 8 o'clock, which doesn't help because if I go to bed when I'm tired, then I'm going to wake up again at 5 or 6 a.m. And then the cycle just repeats, right? But all of that time has given me time to figure out what are the things that I love to do. And in this time, I've thought about, wow, like I like to eat, but it's really an activity. It's not like I'm enjoying the food. It's not like the food is necessary. It's not like I'm even hungry. Like I like to eat. I really like to see what other people are doing, like through social media or paternity court on YouTube, or for about 2 weeks I was hooked on the Breakfast Club. I really enjoy that. I don't know what it feeds in me. Some of the comparison is not good because, like, oh, I could be doing that. I wonder, oh, you know, you go down that rabbit hole. But the other thing is, oh, wow, that person is human just like me, you know, so I'm in a good place. But that's not a standard to compare yourself to, right? So I'm working through that. But I'm also working through my overthinking and overplanning, because I will have my schedule planned to a T. I kid you not. I have already planned every vacation or trip or excursion from now, December 28th, 2018, until December 31st, 2019. I have literally planned it all out. Not in small specific details, but where I want to go, how much I'm going to spend, who I'm going to invite, how long the trip will be, when I need to pay for the travel ticket. And, you know, some of that is great and good and well and all of that, but I'm realizing that some of it really comes from a place of fear and a place of control. And I have to let some of that go, because I spoke, and I don't know if I told you guys already, but 2019 for me is going to be the year of open spaces. And for me, open spaces means unplanned time. Time unaccounted for. And for anybody who is a control freak or who is great with time management or loves to just be in the know, which is also control freak, that's really a difficult thing to like go with the flow. And I can be very spontaneous in a lot of ways and march to the beat of my own drummer, but, or my own drum. Is it drum or drummer? March to the beat of your own drum. Because I would be the drummer. You know what I mean? That's how in control I need to be. I'm marching to the beat that I create with my own little drum beat pattern thing. But I'm realizing that, you know, I gotta create some open space. I gotta create some open time. It's so interesting. Okay, I'm gonna be, all right, Switching gears real quick. So I went on a date. I went on a date a couple days ago. My voice is getting like this because it had been a while since I had been on a date. And it had been a real long time since I've been on a real date. You know how you go on a date and it's like, this was, nothing really came of this. But I went on a real date. Like, don't know him. Get dressed up. Looking cute. Good conversation. Little butterflies. Ooh. You cuter than I thought. So it was a great date, and then we went on a date again, and now we're going on a date again because I just got a text message. But I say all that to say, like, I really was trying to fill all of my time, and then using all of that full time as an excuse not to go on this date, because I didn't know if he'd be cute. I'm sorry, but that is a prerequisite. That's really high up on my list. That's really, really high up on my list. It is number one. Loving Jesus, you know, and being a good person, and, you know, having a great job or career, being passionate. I have a list, right? Not really, but I do. I have a list, but at the top of it is you need to be fine. So, anyway, I was pleasantly surprised when I walked in and he was fine. But I didn't want to go because I was like, he might not be fine. He might be short. He might not really be interested in, like, getting to know me for me and pursuing relationship with me. I just had all these thoughts. And so I was like, oh, no, I'm busy then. Oh, no, I'm going to lay in bed and Netflix then. Oh, no, I'm going to go out with friends then. Oh, no, I have plans with my friend here. Like, I was dodging, but with no good reason, really just out of fear. Like, and at the end of the day, I realized that some of this overplanning and overthinking comes from a place of fear. And really, that is so draining and so exhausting. And nobody has time to just be living in fear. Like, there are certain things that you may not say, you may not do, you may not post, you may not comment on, you may not pursue, you may not, you know, dream about or think about or put into action because of fear. But you're masking that in, oh my gosh, I've planned it out and it just won't work out that way. Or, you know, I followed the letters from A to Z and it's just not going to pan out. Like, that's where faith kicks in. And if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, the Christ, you gotta let that fear go, baby boy, baby girl. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. You do. You really have to, like, just lay it down. So, okay, back to this date. So we got to talking, right? And he's into some things I'm into as far as goals and dreams and aspirations. But even in my conversation with him and telling him, yeah, in March I'm going here, and, you know, then in April I plan to go here, I realized, yes, I'm well planned out, but I sound a little crazy, because if I'm saying all these things that I'm doing to someone who may be wanting to pursue me, I'm in essence telling them, I don't have time for you. Like, I've already planned out my life. My whole year, 2019, is already planned out. Every single free day, holiday moment that I have is planned out, and none of those plans include you. Right? So, like, what if you were the person receiving that information? How would you feel? Like, dang, she doesn't need me? That's good. He said, you know, something that attracted him to me was that I'm independent. So that's great. You know, okay, she doesn't need me, but she don't even want me. Like, she's very content with spending all of this time and all year by herself. And that ain't the truth, brother. That ain't the truth. Matter of fact, I done been in my prayer closet and I've been talking to Jesus, and this is my year, hunty. This is my year of open spaces. And so whatever it is that God has for me and God wants for me, I want to be able to be open enough and have the space enough to, you know, to invite and allow the things that God has for me into my life. So here's some small practical ways that you can have open spaces, because these are ways that I'm doing it. Number one is keep a clean home. I say that because even though I'm on vacation and there really isn't that, I feel like I have so much time, so there's not really a lot of opportunity to junkie up or mess up my home. You know, I tend to go from one thing to another, and I'm like, oh, I didn't clean that up, and da-da-da. And if I wanted to have company over, say some girlfriends from work, or one of my friends from dance, or I don't know, if I had company, a friend wanted to pop in and just check on me, like, my home needs to be presentable. That has to do with open spaces. Also, if I want to sit in my pajamas all day and relax on the couch, I still want to be relaxing in a clean home. I want open space. You know what I mean? If I decide to cut on some worship music and I want to go before the throne of God, like, I don't need to be stepping on coins and tissue paper and shoes to get, you know, to get to his throne. I don't. And that's just something practical that you can do to keep open spaces. The other thing is to budget with wiggle room. So this is an area of growth for me. And I am going to record a podcast about how I went from almost $30,000 in debt. Actually, you know what? I need to find out the real number. I don't want people thinking I'm lying, because I feel like I've said 23, 24, and 30. But I think it was 23. And then there was a $4,000 credit card that I had, but I paid it outside of my debt repayment company. So technically that's like 27. And you know, you want to feel like you did a whole bunch. So then I just rounded up. Oh, I did have student loan debt. That was 4,000. Okay, so this number, all right, so we're going to settle with the number being at 31,000, right? That sounds good. I'll fact check. I'm not trying to lie. I just like to be estimating. Anyway, so the other thing that you want to do is to leave wiggle room with your money. Now, here is the thing. Leave wiggle room with your money. This is another thing. I'm like, Cassandra, like, if you plan your budget, and you should plan it, you should zero it out, but like, you should have an entertainment fund if that's where you're at right now. You should have, you know, a clothing fund or whatever, so you don't feel guilty about purchases that you might make, and you leave the opportunity. If the mall's having a banging sale and you need some candles, you have a fund that you can pull from, and you can live life freely. You can take advantage of those opportunities. I've missed several a sale, for real, on things that I actually needed. For real, because I had spent up all of my money prior to, and I left no wiggle room for a blessing that would come in the future. There's been professional coaching that I missed out on. There's been a trip to Cuba. It was a $400 trip, and that was without the ticket, but the ticket was like $200-$300. And that was a couple years ago, but I still got to go to Cuba now on my own. Or, you know, separate from that girls trip, because I used up all of my time. The other thing is, what else have I missed out on? Anyway, the list could go on. So number one, keep a clean home. Number two, leave wiggle room in your budget. Number three, I already talked about it, leave wiggle room in your calendar. Like, don't plan out every single day and every single moment. If you're going to leave room, you may just need to block out time in your planner or on your Google Calendar, wherever you write it down, and say free time. That way, in that space of time, whatever you feel like doing, you've already planned to do it. So when I Netflix and chill, when I'm watching Paternity Court, which is a really good show, yeah, I like the judge, she's cool. And the stories are wild. But anyway, if you're watching TV, or like, I just recorded a video of me dancing around and put it on my Instagram. Why? Because I have time. Because I didn't block out my time. Also because I had a stomach ache, and so the plans that I had to cancel. But my point is, like, this freedom of time is beautiful. The fourth thing that I want to say that you should leave space for is, drum roll please, because I forgot. Oh, it's time off from work. So some of us, myself included, I remember I worked a job, and I was a little resentful about the fact that I wasn't making what I wanted to make at the time, and the job was super stressful, and there was not a lot of structure at all. And so I felt like I deserved time off. So I had me a little long-distance boyfriend, and I was like, you can come whenever you want to. I'm just going to take a day off. And so I was very dumb, because I had just got the job, and I was demanding time off. But I felt like I deserved it. Like, it was a stress relief for me to have time and spend time with someone that I wanted to spend time with outside of work. But then what happened months later, when he was out of the picture, I had used up almost all of my time off, and it created an issue. Like, within 9 months, I was almost out of days, and it was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good benefits as far as how much time I could take off, technically. And so when that Cuba trip came around, not only did I not have the money, because I could have probably snagged the money, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't have the time off to take. Like, I could not rationalize how after a Christmas/Thanksgiving break, I could not rationalize having time off to go out of the country on yet another trip, like, because I had maximized all the time that I took off of work. So please, please leave space for that. Another thing, leave space in your life for relationships. Leave an open door for people. And I don't mean an open door where they can walk in and out and just use and abuse you, but be okay with relationships blooming in unexpected places. So my sister a couple weeks ago gave me an assignment. I live in Costa Rica, right? So I live abroad. My close friends, of course, are in the United States of America. My family's in the United States. And I have built some relationships here, but I would not say that I have any profoundly solid friendships when I compare to what I have in the States. But of course, that's because I've been here a year and a half, and the culture is different, and I'm different, and, you know, I'm single. A lot of people have their families or their spouses or their boyfriends, or whatever the case is. But she gave me an assignment to make 2 really good friends here. And I know how to make friends. Like, I can do that. I know what it takes, at least. I think making a friend is definitely mutual, but I know that you have to be open, and, you know, you gotta be willing. You have to throw out, hey, let's go there, and be open to saying yes, you know, to go here and whatever. And so you gotta be open. You really do have to make space, invite people out, find something that you want to do and just throw it out there. Hey girl, I'm going to the movies. Did you want to see this movie? Okay, what day? And be flexible, because that happened with a friend. I was like, I want to go to the movies this day at this time. She's like, oh, I got to work. And I could have been like, oh, okay, bye. And usually that's what I'll do, because I'm planned out and my time is planned out. And it's like, oh, if you can't meet my time schedule, like if you ain't doing what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, then we ain't doing it. But I thought about it, thought about my sister's challenge or assignment or homework or whatever, and I was very flexible. I'm like, oh, well, can you go out this time? She's like, no. And I was like, all right, now, strike 2. And then she was like, well, how about we go to this theater at this time or something? However we did it, we worked it out, but it was a lot of, like, compromise and figuring it out together. Same thing with this date that I went on, because I wanted to just be like, nah. He had plans. I was like, oh, don't cancel your plans. I have this. He's like, no, I'll cancel it. And then I'm like, no, don't cancel it. You know, playing. Because we do. Women, men, humans, we play. But it worked out. I decided to remain open, and it was really nice. Okay, I think that's all my openness. So what I say, keep a clean house, keep your schedule open, keep your money open, keep open space for time off from work, and keep yourself open to relationships. The final thing, actually, I like 7, so let me try 2 more. I like the number 7. Number 6, keep your mind open, right? Keep an open mind, because life teaches you different lessons as you go along, and some of the thoughts and the beliefs that we hold on to, this is right, this is wrong, I'll never accept this. I'm trying to think of, for me, a lot of it is relationships. So I would say I'm not dating a man with children, right? I've never really said that, like, and meant it, but I really don't want to date a guy with children, because I don't bring children, and children have mamas, and if I ain't the mama, that's a whole nother layer that's very challenging and difficult, and I just don't know that I'm built for it. However, if God choose to bring the man into my life that meets all of my wishes, desires, and needs, and dreams, and all that, and I go on to, you know, discredit or to reject it just because it does not meet what my mind thought I would receive, there's a problem there. there's a huge problem there. So we got to remain open-minded. Sorry, I was a little distracted when I was talking. I don't know if you guys could tell. Sorry. We have to remain open-minded. I'm a teacher, and things constantly change in my mindset, in my thoughts. Now, how I teach doesn't necessarily change, but where it comes from, the spirit or the mind behind it, oftentimes changes. And sometimes in practice, it changes too. Like, I've gone back and forth with homework, no homework, homework in the middle school age, homework, whether the child is struggling. It might depend on if they're doing well, if they're not doing well, what does that look like? You know, how you speak to your students, how much is directive, you telling them what to do, how much is them having choice, and how much is collaborate. Like that, those things I have to remain open-minded too, because in the course of a school year, my relationship with my students changes. So at the beginning, they're getting to know me, and I need to be a little bit more directive. Then we get to experiment a little bit. Now going into third and fourth quarter, I know who they are. They know who I am. I'm still leaving room for them to grow and learn and change. And same thing for me. But my style will change a little bit because we've set the foundation of our school year, right? So my mind has to remain open. I'm also open to if I need to like tighten up some things a little bit, if I need to loosen up a little bit, if I need to adjust something in best practice. If that happens in relationships too. And I work through that in relationships because not everybody who was your friend last year is your friend this year. Like, the friendship changes and people can come and go, and it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to be mad about it. Nothing had to have happened. People just grow, and sometimes they grow in different directions, right? So you have to have an open mind. And then last but not least, number seven. Seven is the number of completion. Seven is my favorite number. Seven is a sexy number. Seven also is siete in Espanol, and it has something to do with Septiembre, which is September, which is the month that I was born. So, you know, it just, I don't know, seven just really speaks to me. So that's why I like having seven things. Anytime I can have a number of something, it's going to be seven. Unless it's Skittles. I kind of want an even number of Skittles. But anyway, seven, you have to remain open to God. I mean, really. And I want to speak to people who don't even believe, right? Like I might believe, who don't hold a strong conviction in God, just be open. If he wants to make himself known in your life, or if there are things that are going on and you're open to it, you can see him. You can see him move. You can feel him. You can experience him. You can experience the love of God. With so much going on in the world, there's positive and there's negative, right? And people say so much negative, and I stop myself from saying that, because as much negative that there is in the world, there is the same amount, if not more, positive happening. And that sounds like fake news, right? It sounds like a false statistic, but I see beautiful things happen every single day, and I hear about, but I don't see the negative happening every day. What I see is beautiful things. I see children growing. I see mothers giving birth. I see families coming together. I see forgiveness. I see love. I see growth. I see nature. Like, I see so much beauty in the world, and I see God in the world because I'm open to seeing him. Even in my struggles, even in pain, even in the moments where I feel embarrassed or defeated or sad or hopeless or discouraged, or like a failure, when I look a little bit closer, under closer observation, I see God moving. I see God working. I see God doing things. So many of you know that I'm rewriting and editing my book, right? And it's been a emotional process. Like, it's actually been a process that has made me feel like I'm crazy, because I wrote a book year and a half ago. I revised and edited it, sent it out, asked people to read it, and we didn't catch all the errors, the mistakes, and the things that didn't really make sense. Like, I didn't have a professional editor. So I planned this event for this past summer. I had an editor look at it. I'm thinking, you know, she's going to tweak a few grammatical things, tell me move this paragraph here. The woman gave me some feedback about the structure, the content, the genre, the grammar, it felt like my book was ripped to shreds. It wasn't, but that's what it felt like. That's what it still feels like. And I understand what it feels like is not what it is, but that's what it feels like. And that's what it felt like in that moment. And that could have derailed me. But what I have figured out, what I found out, is that God wanted me to take some more time to learn the lessons in my book before I put the book out. Because it's one thing to like get an idea of what God is trying to teach you and share that with people. That's what I do on this podcast. I feel like that's what I do through social media. That's what I do with friends and family. But when you write a book, when you put it in print and it is copied and sold and duplicated, like, you need to be solid on the things that you're saying, and you need to have really gotten the lessons and be able to elaborate and to speak on them. And so that's the process God is taking me through, and that takes time, and I have to really be open to the process of writing. So I've committed to every day spending time on my book and not being so harsh with myself on, you must spend 2 hours writing, you need to spend 3 hours writing, you need to spend 45 hours writing. You know what I'm saying? Like, spend time writing. Read this. And I just read and clean up. And when I'm done, when I'm spent, when my energy is like, okay, that's good, that's all I have, like, I'm done. And the book will get written and it'll get finished when it gets finished. Thank you so much for those of you who have asked about it, because that is really motivation. If nobody was asking, if I didn't feel like the message needed to be shared, I would just not re-release it. I just try to forget it. I ask everybody who bought a copy to burn it, and just, you know, let's just pretend like that didn't happen. But there are people who are asking, and I feel like, you know, God did give me something to share, and I need to get it for myself and then be able to pass it to others. So I wanted to share that with you. The other thing, that's it, because that's 7 things. So let's see if I can recap, because I did not write this down. I'm just speaking from my heart. Number one, make space in your home. I need to write this down. This is good. Okay, number one, make space in your home. Keep a clean home. Number two, make space as far as your budget goes. Number three, make space for time off. Make space in your schedule and time. Make space with relationships with people. Make space, what did I just say before the answer? In your mind, and then make space for God. I hope that you enjoyed this. I really needed to speak with you all. And if I don't speak to you before the new year, I want you to have a happy new year. Don't wait until December 31st to set your new year's resolution, and don't wait till January 1st to get it started. Like, get on it ASAP. All right, have a blessed one. I'll talk to you guys later. If you don't do anything else until we meet the next time, I want you to make sure that you grow.